This is Going Public on KRCU. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. My next guest is Dr. Deborah Lee DiStefano, a professor of Spanish here at SEMO. Earlier this year, she contributed to the book Imagining Asia in the Americas, which takes a look at the many contributions from Asians in the Americas. Recently, she joined me in the studio to talk more about those contributions and what it means to be Asian in America. So you contributed to a book called Imagining Asia in the Americas, and one of the main components that the book talks about is the influence Asians have had on the Americas. Can you tell me a little bit about those contributions?
Yes, and as I said, historically, there are people who are much, I think, have much more in the capacity to go into great length. But if you look at our railroad system in throughout the continents was largely built because of Chinese labor. When you look at the coolie trade and different types of migration that brought people of Chinese descent and many South Asians into this hemisphere for work, if you look at that kinds of systems, if you're looking and then those people are staying and they're building other industries here. So you're working at, you know, the traditional, if you're going to think of a Chinese restaurant, you think of Chinese laundry. You have Chinatowns that come into existence. And so cities such as, I mean, pretty much every city, if you look at LA, if you look at San Francisco, if you look at New York, if you look at Chicago, their mark, the mark of these groups is still there in these. And if you go south into Mexico, I mean, you've got a lot of Chinese in Sonora in Mexico. Many Mexicans don't even know about this, that there's a significant Chinese contribution in Veracruz as well. Then if you go into South America, it's very similar because of the need for labor. They brought in Chinese, Japanese, South Asian workers to work on the plantations. And so you have people affecting economies in great, great scale.
Well, what about the cultural and social contributions then that we see in our day-to-day?
The contributions are a little different. So I think something you said that's perfect in our day-to-day lives, and I can give you an example. In Peru, there's a very famous grocery store called Wong. Everyone goes to Wong's. I mean, and Wong family eventually became Peruvian, but at some point they migrated to Peru, were originally, I'm assuming, from China. I don't know their background. But Wong's now is just, it's just every day. That's where you go to buy your groceries. And so that is an element of a Chinese name that serves as a marker that's within the transcourse of what it is to be the Peruvian culture. Just going to Wong's is normal. When it comes to culture, that's when it gets a little different. So Peru, not Peru, I'm going to say Brazil. I think a friend of mine, Dr. Zelideth Rivas, who also had worked on this book, she had some really good, interesting combinations of how Japanese culture fused with Brazilian culture. And you see this in Peru, for example, with Chinese food, chifa. Chifa is now considered a Peruvian food, but it's Chinese food fused with Peruvian ingredients. And so you have this whole new culinary restaurant food idea that's been created because of the Chinese presence in Peru. And so, but typically, what the one thing I want to point out is that while people still have connections to their cultures in the past, many of these people, I think most of them, because they're born there, they see themselves nationally as the country they're from. So if they're from Peru, they see themselves as Peruvian. If they're from Brazil, they see themselves as Brazilian. If they're from Panama, they see themselves as Panamanian. The problem comes is when what other people do not see them as their national ID. And that's where I think we get some of the trickier issues, because they're always going to expect them to be the perpetual foreigner. This is one of the things I think Asian Americans in the United States and throughout the America, throughout America, that they have to suffer is this idea that they don't really belong.
Let's break down exactly what it means to be Asian, because it's a pretty vast concept.
When we're talking about Asia and we're talking about in the context of America, I want to state from the beginning, my concept of America is the entire continent from Alaska to Patagonia. I don't deal with just the United States or just the United States and Canada. But I think the idea of Asia and what is Asian is one that has been fairly limited. There's a wonderful book called The Myth of Continents that talks about how the idea of what is East and what is Asia has consistently changed throughout history in Western tradition as the Western mind expanded into other parts. So currently, many people, if they think of an Asian restaurant, they're thinking perhaps a Chinese, Japanese, maybe Korean fusion, and sometimes they go into Southeast Asia. But what many people fail to really think about is that Asia goes all the way to Saudi Arabia. So when you're dealing with Asian, everything from Saudi Arabia to Japan and down into the islands. If we're going to go into Southeast Asia, that's all Asia. So Indians, you want to deal with Pakistanis, you want to work with Saudis, you want to look at Israelis. That's all really technically, continentally, what is Asia.
So then have we, as a society, grouped in all Asians together to be this one uniformed idea of what it means to be an Asian in America then?
I think from what my friends, because I am not Asian, but from my experience and my research, yes, that is typically what has happened, is that we have developed this idea of what it means to be Asian. And you're typically, people are being lumped into one category of culture, and there is not one culture. So even if I were lumping Japanese, Korean, Chinese, and into Southeast Asia, if we want to deal with Thailand, if we want to work with Malaysia, if we want to work with the Philippines, they all have very separate, different cultures. And so this idea of trying to develop what is an Asian culture cannot be done, because there is not one Asian culture. And secondly, I think what we tend to have happen in the United States, I think you had said it perfectly earlier, is this idea of colorism. There's a phenotype and there's a color that is associated with Asian. And as we have clearly seen with transnationals, migration, et cetera, this is no longer the case. There is not a look that is Asian, but people still have these old world categories in their mind when they talk about Asian.
So to wrap things up, November is around the corner and we're basically in the home stretch of our political season. Historically speaking, where have race and politics in America coincided within the Asian American community?
If you look at the United States, the Black Power movement really unleashed a lot, because Black Power movement gave, I want to say, to an extent, when you're dealing with the Latino movement, with Cesar Chavez, and when you're dealing mm-hmm. with the Asian American movement, Ronald Takaki, I believe he's dead now, he was one of the early, he was at Berkeley, and there were a lot of writers at this time who were really pushing in the Asian American movement. And so, and typically, they followed very similar backgrounds, I think, and paths as the Black Power movement did. The problem that we see, and we even see this in the Latino community, when you're dealing with Black Power, people were really concentrating on a color, because sadly, you don't know your background. So, but when you're dealing with Hispanics, Latinos, and you're dealing with Asians, a lot of times they know their backgrounds of origin. And so trying to mesh 20 Spanish-speaking backgrounds into one movement is very difficult. And when you go into Asia and you have all these different backgrounds and cultures within one country, you can have different languages and different cultures, the same in Latin America. It's hard to mobilize, because there's not a single common, except the fact that we want to be heard. So, but then how do you negotiate all those voices? And so there are still very strong proponents in the Asian American community. It's sadly, again, I think part of it is media. Media does not always bring in these divergent voices. And so the media really needs to step up its game and really try to focus on the complexity of what is the United States, of what is this entire hemisphere, really what is the world.
That was Dr. Deborah Lee DiStefano, a professor of Spanish at SEMO, talking to me about the contributions of Asians in America.